Houston's home for Texas A&M Athletics. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Every time that guy says that, I like to be around him. You got to put that in the rejoin us. That's my favorite. Coach Cully. Coach Tully, liking to be around us. 7037803776. Let's get Wayne in here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about his college football playoff rankings. What do you say, Wayne?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, John and Lance. I know it's I'm an Astros fan. I know it stinks, but you know what? I'm gonna make a comment and ask a question about the college football playoff. But I know it's an Astros dip. But I just wanted to say, hey, I tip my hat to the Braves. They were the better team in the series, and hopefully we can get some players out of Correa. If we don't hold on to him, we'll just hopefully get a couple players out of that huge contract that we could have gave him, two or three players. Atlanta, you know, this city, they haven't really won much. I don't mind losing to Atlanta. That's cool. I mean, I don't like losing, but you know what I'm saying. But coming to the playoffs, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. It's almost kind of like the playoff committee. Did they forget that, like, Alabama lost to, like, A&M? It's almost kind of like they forgot about that one loss. I understand it's Alabama, but I don't think they're the same Alabama. They just haven't really had any firmly impressive wins. That's just my opinion. And what happened to undefeated seasons? Is that kind of, like, go by the wayside nowadays? Because used to, that was a big deal. Oklahoma and Cincinnati is undefeated. They go undefeated all the way. Do they get any kind of love, or is that just kind of gone by the wayside? Isn't that part of the eye test? No, hang up and listen.
I don't think it's just undefeated seasons. I think you need to play well. Oklahoma has struggled badly against Kansas and Tulane. Kansas is one of the worst teams in college football.
You're talking about Cincinnati.
No, I'm talking about, he mentioned Oklahoma, too.
They didn't play Tulane.
First game of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
They played Tulane, and they barely beat them. They were losing on the third quarter against Kansas. Oklahoma having an undefeated season is irrelevant to me.
That Kansas loss, or that when Kansas game was
terrible.
And that because I've got two different Oklahoma seasons, Spencer Rattler season, Caleb Williams season.
Yeah.
But Caleb Williams season picked up again this week against Tech. They looked bad in that first half against Kansas. They picked it up. Oklahoma should be higher than that. Oklahoma's a better team. Oklahoma is.
But they've got two games on their docket like that. They got a Kansas and a Tulane. And not to mention, that was a great comeback win, but you got smoked by Texas in the first half. And there was another one, too, where they had to come back that I'm forgetting. But it's just, you can't unsee the struggles against you. You bring up how you know, you bring up the Stanford loss for Oregon. My gosh, barely beating at home. The other one was at Kansas, but losing to Kansas, I mean, beating Kansas the way you did that's probably the worst win of the season. Like, they were losing at halftime. They were losing in the third quarter.
They were scoreless in the first half.
And you're right, Spencer Rattler team was a different team than Caleb Williams team, but just because you're undefeated, that doesn't mean anything to me. It's how you're playing.
Well,
Wake Forest has played much better.
But Oregon beat Cal by three.
But Cincinnati has
been, you know what? But I don't think anybody on the playoff committee has watched an Oregon game.
Cincinnati was unimpressive. They were unimpressive. I know. They were unimpressive against a Service Academy team, which will happen from time to time.
No, it's happened a lot, actually.
Yeah,
U of H didn't look good against Navy.
But U of H isn't even in the top 25.
No,
I'm talking about for a team that's ranked high.
But they just beat SMU. I know, but part of the reason that University of Houston is not in there is because of that Navy. And part of the reason that Cincinnati's not in the top four is because of Navy. But you know what? Navy does. They make you look bad.
Navy and then the Tulane game.
And
it's back-to-back games. If they had convincing, for a while they're having convincing wins against everybody. If they'd had convincing wins in the last two games, I believe they would have been fourth and Michigan State would have been fifth. But it's an easy out. Now we say, well, Cincinnati is, we didn't want to believe in them, and now we don't believe in them.
And here's another point. Undefeated. Oregon only up 24-19 in the fourth quarter against Arizona at home.
Yeah.
Oregon is the worst team in the country.
Oregon is not a top four team. But Wayne's point was correct. It doesn't seem like it's the same Alabama team. It's not. Guess what? nobody in college football is the same team as they usually
Oregon
are.
Oregon being there year. Is a joke.
Yeah, Oregon needs to be out of there. Ohio State, Cincinnati, probably even Oklahoma.
I'm telling you.
Michigan that, 7. You surprised Michigan 7? State 7?
Michigan, no. Michigan, I mean, Michigan. Michigan is 10.
Hold on a second. No. In the playoff rankings, Michigan 7.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're 7. You surprised
the AP,
they're 7?
I think they're 10.
Yeah. Yes, I'm surprised.
I am, too. And I think it's because they said, look, Michigan outplayed Michigan State for the first three quarters.
They're given this. The Oregon is a makeup call for all these years that the Pac-12 has been out.
Makeup when you made a mistake. You never
mistake. No, but they're trying to placate the Pac-12 and tell them, listen, you're still part of us. Don't join the ACC and the Big Ten and try to get rid of us. Look, Oregon, we're putting you up there. Stop. Oregon as a top four team is a joke. And it's nothing but playing politics right here. And you know who's caught in the middle of it is Cincinnati. Cincinnati is an undefeated team. It should
let's
be
see how, let's see how it plays out. Let's get Mike. He wants to talk about Correa's contract. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, I used to live in Atlanta, so it's been a fun back and forth with my buddies out there. I was getting pictures from the Battery last night. They seemed pretty excited. Now, with Carlos Correa, though, I'm on the side of pay the guy. Here's why. Because, is he going to be 28 next season? Is that right?
Carlos is 27, yeah. Going to be 28. He's young.
So be 28. So I'll take a few years on the downside because he's only 36 at that point. Gurriel just won the batting title at 37. I think that I'll take a few years of getting to ALCS and World Series and have a waning back end of that contract. I mean, you mentioned Pujols and all these other guys. They were much older than Correa at the time they got these larger long-term deals. So, the Braves way back in the day, they were Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddox. They were a pitching team. We're a hitting team that has pitchers that come in and out. So I don't think he's an interchangeable piece.
No, I do think it needs to be said, though. I think it needs to be said. Okay. Carlos Correa played great this year. He still is a little bit of a streaky hitter. Like, he's not, you know, he's nowhere near what Pujols was as a hitter. Pujols was an MVP caliber hitter every year.
Let's hesitate to, you know, Carlos is not only a streaky hitter. Carlos Correa's career OP, you know how many points Carlos Correa in what we think is like, it's not even his career year. It's not even close to his career year. But it's one of his best seasons. He raised his OPS 4.004 points this year. He was 833 coming in. He's 837 now. Nothing against Carlos Correa, but let's not compare him to the batting champ. He's not a batting champ. He never has been, and he's never going to be. Carlos Correa, in this postseason, now we know Carlos comes up with big hits, and he's come up with some big hits. He was not great hitting this. Now, his defense is spectacular, the best. He's the best shortstop in baseball. I don't know about comparing him to Yuli at 37 years old as a hitter because he has never been that. This is not what Carlos does. Carlos has been relatively consistent. His on base has been mid-300s. His slugging has been up and down, really up and
down.
That's
not consistent.
That's not consistent at all.
He's been relatively inconsistent, not consistent.
No. I mean, he's had a couple of years in the low 700s in OPS. That's not good. 800, you're doing pretty well.
But how do you project him, though? I get who he was. Who is he now? Who is he going to be? That's the question you have to ask.
And then there's the injury thing that we can't forget about.
But he's not.
He's had a year and a half. No, a year and a third. Of healthy baseball.
But he's not a full-time injury guy. Like, his injuries, he's not a typical soft tissue injury guy.
No.
So I'm willing to say...
In the minors, he had an ankle, a really bad ankle.
Because of the slide?
Yes.
I mean, there are things that happen because of the sport.
He had a broken rib because of a massage.
I don't know what happened with the massage rib. But yeah. I just know this much. I'm starting to say I'm willing to... You still have to project who Carlos, before you sign him, you got to project who he's going to be. I think it's irrelevant. Like you said, Jim Crane ain't given a 10-year deal, so I think it's probably irrelevant.
And listen, I'm not making the argument against it. I'm just saying I would hesitate. Just because Yuli did that doesn't mean that Carlos is going to do that. Different kind of players.
Yuli's old.
Totally different players. Yuli is a professional. Yuli has been a professional hitter here since he got here. Carlos is
27, but he turns 28 in September 22nd of next year. So Carlos is a young 27.
Yeah.
Right now. So,
is he a young 27?
I think he's still a young 27. I think he's in his prime 27.
In his prime,
reached his prime. Right now, we are seeing prime. This is truly the Kobe beef Carlos. This is going to be the Japanese A5 steak Carlos, where the defense is there. You'd like a little more power, probably. Like you'd like the power numbers to be closer to 30 if you had your way. But this is as good as Carlos has ever been as a total player to me.
Look, rookie of the year, OPS, 857. Next year, it dropped to 811. Following year, 941.
Well, that was 17.
941.
That was the trash can bang
year.
That
was the trash can year.
Carlos was up.
The next year, 728. He dropped over 200 points on his OPS.
Uh-huh.
That was the year when he came back, and it was really, he didn't know, he was lost at the plate. I get it. The next year, 926. The next year, 709. Now he played all 58 games in the pandemic. His OPS was 709. That's really bad. 850 this year,
So who is Carlos? I think Carlos is what you see this year.
I think Carlos is a bit of a roller coaster.
You can't look backwards too far because he is in his prime right now, and I think everything that has happened in the past has made him who he is now. He's a leader. He's an elite defensive shortstop.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the best.
One of the best that I've ever personally seen.
Yes.
Carlos Correa is worth a ton of money. The length of the contract is a massive issue.
Yep.
Back-to-back Tatis and Lindor's probably sunk this organization. I think if you wouldn't have seen those deals, but those deals were already in the making because of, this is where the deals have been trending.
Here's one. Now, Lindor was a tough bet. Now,
killed it.
Bryce Harper played well this year, really well this year. And that's
one of the saving graces.
That's right. I mean, Machado's long deal, Tatis's long deal, and injuries and everything else, and Lindor's awful. Bryce Harper might be a saving grace. Well, listen, somebody's going to give him a long deal. I don't think it's going to be Crane. 915 ESPN, 975-713-780-3776. You've got thoughts. You're more than welcome to get in here on the aftermath of a really good season. A really, really good season.
Bad game.
It ended really, really poorly. Time to talk right now about HRMP and my people over at HRMP. Meeting with them, as a matter of fact, next week, and we do a lot of stuff with them. Don't ask me, ask David Gao, ask Laura Beavers what they think of HRMP, and they're going to give you a glowing, glowing, glowing recommendation. I don't deal with it. All I know is my paychecks get here, and I never get called by HR, which is maybe that's not great. But here's the deal. Is that that's what they do. They do HR and they do payroll. For all these other companies, and you see all these other ones that are advertising how they're help your business and small business and all these other stuff, here's what they do, is they do payroll and HR for you, and then they throw on all these benefits packages where they make a ton of money. HRMP doesn't do that. HRMP takes care of the payroll, and they take care of the they take care of the taxes too, which is probably the most important thing with the Affordable Care Act. And they take care of your HR, and they're not going to stick you with benefits packages that don't fit you or that are too expensive. HRMP just doesn't do that. What they do is HR and payroll. So give them a call, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. You're looking for a great payroll company and HR company. It's HRMP.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We just saw a video.
That was pretty good.
And that's not a setup video. No, that's a real video.
That's a real video. 713-780-3776. What? So.
Did it have to do with a monkey and a stripper pole again?
No, there was no monkey or stripper pole in it. But
no, but it was in
a
that
little
same...
person.
Yeah.
So a wife is screaming at the husband on the second floor.
She's trying to get into the house.
She finally gets in. The husband comes out on the balcony with a little person and
lowers her down to some guys in the street who like kind of catch her.
And then the little person climbs under a box that's in the street.
Guys, under a box is hiding there. She would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Comes back out after being upstairs, comes back out screaming, Where is she? And the little person, the box starts moving. And then the little person runs out from under the. It was funny. It's a good time.
And then the wife went chasing. I can tweet it out.
This was in some South American country.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, no, no.
The guy who's recording it from another building is like, ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó?
Mira.
Mira, ¿qué pasó?
Who's next? It is going to be... Oh, Keith. That's it. Let's get Keith back in here. Hey, Keith.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, I'm sorry about earlier. I don't know what happened. I just tuned in at 8 o'clock, and I'm sure you guys covered your dawn, so you'll have to forgive me. But the last time I called the bench, it was near the end of the regular season, and I came on here, and I gave some details on why I thought Yordan was such a big key for the Astros. He was the ALCS MVP, and he was awesome. And then he got to the World Series, and, well, you guys saw it. He got two hits and no home runs. The two things stand out for this World Series for me. The Astros got out-homered 11-2, but the killer was the Game 4 loss. And, you know, it was a bullpen game for the Braves. Those weren't great pitchers they were putting out there. And, man, the Astros had runners on base every inning. I'm watching that game and saying, man, these guys are fixing to break this open. And they never could. And I don't remember the final number, but I know the runners left on base in that game was in the double digits. I mean, that game was the worst game of the season. And it was an absolute killer. And I'll close with this. If you had told me before the Astros came to Atlanta that their pitchers would give up 5 runs total in those first 2 games, I say they win at least one of them. And they couldn't get it done, and it was game over. Thanks, guys.
I thought game 4 was the pivotal game, too. Yeah, you had so many chances. You were up. I mean, yeah, you should win a 2-1. You know, Javier gives up the back-to-back jacks. Those are big plays, but the other team made the plays. And
that was
your
first bullpen game.
That was.
In the first inning, you had them on the ropes.
Yes.
You got one out of it. You had them on the ropes in the first inning.
You had to win that game. You were up all the way till the seventh inning, and you couldn't come up with that one big hit. Goodness gracious, come up with a big hit. Yeah, you got to win run. But, and I don't know, Mr. Yeah. Name another manager that the Astros would have beat the Braves in this series if they had somebody else managing them. I mean, come up with a hit. Come up with a hit in a big situation. And you know what the Braves did and the Astros didn't. That's why they won. If the Astros win game 4, this is a different series.
I'm not engaging with anything about Dusty and this. I mean, series is over. Season's over. Dusty's back next year. Strom is not. For those who missed it, Brent Strom is stepping away. Has not said he's retiring necessarily, but also hasn't said he's not retiring. We don't know yet. But he's not going to be with the Astros next year. He made his decision last month. So my guess is he'll find another job that doesn't require him traveling full time, because he talked about he's been in baseball a long time and the travel just starts to get to you. He's 73 years old now, but losing Stromy is going to hurt. Losing Correa, if they do, will hurt, but Isaac may have his replacement. What's up, Isaac? How are we doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? With the Astros having the option to pick up Ulieski for one more year, I know he's 37. He originally was a third baseman. What if we just move everybody around, move him to third, Bregman to short, bring up Jones to play first? I don't know what y'all think about that. Because honestly, I don't see Correa coming back. If they didn't pay for Springer, 175, there's no way they're paying for Correa. I wouldn't pay it either, but, you know.
Well, Springer made 150 with the Toronto, 6 years, 150. If they'd have matched that, they'd have gotten him. But again, it was a 6-year deal. Yeah, I don't know about Yuli at third, and you know Yuli at third and Yordan at first, and then you know maybe whatever, whatever. It's a possibility, I guess. Yeah, Yuli was a third baseman. Yuli could go back to third. Bregman, it's been a while since Bregman was a shortstop. What about Jeremy Peña? What about him? What about Pedro León? You know, you still got to develop young players.
León is 23. You know, with shortstop, they played him outfield this year, but he's got shortstop outfield ability. I wouldn't have Bregman. I would not move Bregman to shortstop. Either. Bregman is not a shortstop.
Not anymore.
He didn't have that range.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Carlos's arm has spoiled us, but I haven't seen León, so I can't. You know, I don't know about León. He's not the
and
biggest
Peña.
Guy.
I haven't seen Peña either, but everybody's raving about him. He's, you know, he can hit and he can field and blah blah blah.
He's a bigger guy than León, who's smaller. Here's the Astros' top five according to MLB's top prospects. Corey Lee, the catcher, who he is really, really good and played well this year. Pedro León, Hunter Brown, Jeremy Peña, and then they still have Force Whitley fifth.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure. Listen, they're going to be a good team again next year. Guess what? They're going to be right there. They're going to be in the playoffs again next year, and we'll see what happens. Let's see what he does spending-wise. He's going to have some money to play with this offseason. Hopefully.
Ready to get excited about something? Corey Lee, 329 at-bats this year, 11 home runs, 45 RBIs, OPS 778, which is okay. On-base percentage 340, but...
For catcher?
For catcher?
For Astros catcher?
Yeah.
I'll take 778? Of course, that is in AAA, but I'll take anything over 650 a catcher for the Astros.
He's 23. 32nd pick of the draft.
No, he's a real prospect.
Yeah, no, he's a legit prospect.
Well, let's see, but you know.
Well, obviously he's ranked number 1, but no, he's been a legit prospect.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5, you're more than welcome. Right now though, let's talk about Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite. He is awesome. And you know, we talk about the, you know, with the aqueduct, whether or not, you know, you subcontract the work. Jeff Aronoff has got his guys. He's got his people that come to your home. They did a couple of things for us. They put in the outdoor kitchen, which really helped us sell the house. And they also fixed our countertops now in the kitchen. Now you want to replace your countertops? Awesome. You want to replace your cabinets? Awesome. You want to replace your flooring? He does it all. He does it all. And it's got to be a big job. He's not coming over there to replace some tiles. That's not what he does. You want to redo, remodel, make your home look wonderful, perfect, richer. You have to do this, people. How long have you owned your home? 10, 15, 20 years? If you aren't upgrading, you ain't selling it, and you ain't getting more than you paid for it, and it's the biggest investment you ever had in your life. So let Jeff Aronoff come and make that investment work for you. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so.
Miles Straw at the game?
No.
In Astros gear? Nice. Swear, I mean, this is so.
He was at the Atlanta game, too, I think. I think he was at game four.
They love their
What does
their
it teammates. Say?
This is a close team. This is a close-knit team.
What right? is it? He's not wearing a Straw jersey. He's wearing a jersey.
He was wearing a Brantley jersey.
Oh, a Brantley jersey.
I'd wear a Brantley
Miles
jersey,
Miles Straw
too.
Wearing a Brantley's jersey coming to the game.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I wish you should. I wish he was wearing.
Yeah, that's.
I wish he was wearing a Lima jersey. Because Lima liked to wear Lima jerseys.
Yeah, he did.
So Deshaun not traded. The trade deadline was blah. Astros lose. Rockets lost by 2 to the Lakers in a game with Jalen Green with 43 seconds left, and then with 8 seconds left. Got him to within one, hit 2 threes, got him to within one, and then the Lakers added a free throw, and then Kevin Porter Jr. missed a three at the end.
They announced new City Edition jerseys, though.
I know, I saw that. They look like the Rockets pajamas without the
actual cartoon Rocket.
Without the cartoon Rocket, without the teeth on the Rocket, yeah. So, Whatever. But it's got a white belt, though. It's got a white belt, though, so it's kind of cool.
And they made the custom court to match it again.
Scottie Pippen is slamming Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen is putting out his...
Wait, well, hold on. Oh, it's Wednesday. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like a day Scottie would just slam
Michael. Would blast.
Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Monday.
So he says...
He's changed his tune over the years. Have you noticed that?
Unguarded is his new memoir. It's Unguarded. He discusses the documentary and why it rubbed him the wrong way. He says this about Michael. The producers granted him editorial control of the product. The doc couldn't have been released otherwise. He was the leading man and the director. Except Michael was determined to prove to the current generation of fans that he was larger than life during his day and still larger than LeBron James, the player many consider his equal, if not superior. Even in the second episode, which focused on, for a while, in my difficult upbringing, unlikely path to the NBA, the narrative returned to MJ and his determination to win. I was nothing more than a prop. His best teammate of all time, he called me. He couldn't have been more condescending if he tried. Is that condescending if you call Scottie Pippen your best teammate of all time? Now, he used to call everybody his supporting cast.
Yes. We already know what the deal is.
Everybody his supporting cast.
I know, but the deal is Scottie Pippen didn't like the way he was portrayed in Michael Jordan's documentary.
That's what he said.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It literally stops there. Everything else is the narrative, Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, and you can go find Scottie Pippen, what he said about Michael Jordan in the past, which is very positive in terms of the greatest of all time. It completely flipped after Last Dance. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Scorned.
Now, and
not look, that MJ wasn't a creep and a jerk to those guys. Well, no, they can both be true.
And not that MJ didn't have editorial final say.
Yeah.
Not that MJ didn't make himself look as great as possible.
All that can be true. Scottie's opinion has changed, though.
Yes.
He could have said Mike's an a-hole and all this stuff, but as a basketball player, he's great. He has, after the Last Dance, he some of his opinions even changed. Yeah.
Apparently, Jordan made $10 million for his role in the film, while Pippen and the other Bulls players didn't receive a dime, despite the fact that they had to make sacrifice during their playing days in order for him, for the film to be made. Again, from GQ. To make things worse, Michael received $10 million for his role in the doc, while my teammates and I didn't earn a dime. Another reminder of the pecking order from the old days. For an entire season, we allowed cameras into the sanctity of our locker rooms, our practices, our hotels, our huddles, and our lives. I could see that. I could see that pissing him off a little bit. Yeah, I could see that. Those cameras followed them around everywhere. That was one hell of a documentary. And Mike got paid. Nobody else did. That is, he makes a point. Listen, Scotty, you're Scottie Pippen, one of the 75 greatest players of all time, in large part because of Michael Jordan. Now, Scotty was really, 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 really good. And he certainly played that role. But you were one of the Jordanaires. That's all. You were the manger. You were Robin. Was he not the original Robin?
Mm-hmm.
He was the original Robin.
He was the original Robin. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's who Scottie was known as. Scottie Pippen also had his opportunities, and he cratered. When Michael Jordan wasn't there, he cratered. Or asked out of games or threw fussy little fits where Tony Kukoc stepped up and made plays. Dude, we saw all that stuff, right, Scotty? I'm sure we know Jordan was an a-hole, and the way he treated you guys was bad, and all that stuff is true. But we also know that you're mad at Mike. That's their own thing. I don't even – like, I'm seeing it. I knew it would be a big story on TV. To me, it's been done. It's done. Mike is who he is. Scotty is who it is. Nothing new is going to come. And Scotty is leaking out. All this stuff is coming out in the interview because Scotty has a book he wants to sell.
Yeah.
His memoir, did you mention what it was called?
Yeah.
Unguarded?
Unguarded.
That just tells you. It's because you weren't really a threat.
Well, no, yes, he was. Scottie was a good player.
Scottie was a good player. When Scottie won the 50 great, when he was named at the 50-year mark, the 50 greatest players of all time, I always felt like,
he was
a little uncomfortable about that.
He was.
Was he?
He really was.
Some good players left off that list. Scottie was a complete player. Scotty was never a number one. Never on any team could he be a number one.
He's what about a professional. After when Jordan left, Scotty held the torch, man. Scotty played pretty damn well.
He didn't feel like a one on a good team.
Except the team that went
Tony
to the
Kukoc,
he
too.
Went to the East Finals with Scotty.
I mean, is that when he got headaches?
Yeah.
Or is that whenever he said, "You're not calling a play for me. I'm not going in." Because, yeah. You know, he did that too.
Yeah. Well, we know because in the documentary, he was none too.
No, but it happened though.
Yeah.
It's not even you know what the documentary does? Documents real occurrences.
Yeah.
As they happened, that was real.
That really happened. Let's get Tim in here before we hit News of the Word. What do you say, Tim?
Hey, guys. I don't know if the screen had told you, but I'm down here from Boston for a comedy festival and was really hoping to celebrate with my Strohs. I am a fan.
How are you a fan of the Strohs if you're a Red Sox guy?
Well, I'm a Cora fan. Okay. I'm not blaming the team for what happened. And I'm an old school, back when they were in the National League, I was a big fan of the Strohs. I love J.R. Richards. Okay. So that's how old I am. And so yeah, I don't like that they're in the American League anymore, but I'm bummed there won't be any parade. I was hoping to get down here, do a little comedy, do a parade, get some, you know, get fisted. And looks like I'm only going to get one of those things, maybe two.
Wait. Did you hear what he said?
He said something ugly.
Hold on, Tim. Is this a Deshaun thing? Listen, I'm looking right here. We're just going to let you stay on. I was going to let you stay on because I'm interested. So you're here for the comedy festival. You got to be.
Where's the comedy festival?
Well, is it the one November 13th?
No, that's the film festival. No, the improv's doing a bunch of shows.
Oh, okay.
And over the next few days.
You're performing or you're watching?
No, watching. Oh. I'm not a performer.
Oh, Doug Stanhope's here.
Just a fan and I critique the shows on a podcast.
Okay.
The improv's doing like a set of shows for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
So you're going to go on Reddit afterwards and tell everybody what you thought?
Yeah, basically. There's a community. Yeah, we talk about it. You know, who was there, who highlighted. You know, someone will still get a big name that'll, you know, just pop in and show up. I'm hoping like Brewer shows up to this. But that's what happens. You know, some of these big names will just come and maybe do a set they're trying out.
So that'd be great. Because, yeah, I see Doug Stanhope is tomorrow.
Hit or miss.
Stanhope's tomorrow. Yeah. They got Josh Wolf. And then coming up, Deion Cole, who I love Deion Cole. Gary Owen, we've had on the show. Mick Foley is doing comedy now?
Yep.
The wrestler?
Be surprised.
No, I haven't heard it.
I bet he's got stories.
I'd be surprised if it's good.
Why?
It can't be.
It can't be good.
Why? Are you kidding? Wrestling stories?
Yeah, I mean, telling stories is not the same as stand-up.
If it's Mick Foley, if it really is him, isn't he the one that had the Tourette's persona?
Well, he wore a mask, he had a sock puppet or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's, come on.
Yeah, what's that, he's going to do that for stand-up for 10 minutes? I mean, I guess it would be funny, like an Andy Kaufman type of funny.
Yeah, I got news for you. The Kaufman thing weirded me out when I was young and he was doing it. And that had to do with wrestling, too, whenever he did it with Jerry Lawler. But, all right, we let you stay. We got to let you go, Tim. I did appreciate that's an authentic Boston accent. That's an authentic Boston accent. That's real. We know he's real. I 100% believe everything in. He said something in there that he just kind of snuck in on a list. You know, this is classic sneak in to a radio show. You start throwing a list. I wanted to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. Yeah, and I'm like, did you say something about former Astros pitcher Doug Fister?
Yeah.
Is that what he just said?
He said something to that effect. And I was like, what? No, what now?
I got tickets to...
Call Deshaun. He can tell you where to go.
No,
I was hoping to get down here, do a little comedy, do a parade, get some, you know, get fisted.
Yeah, and see? No. No.
See.
I got tickets for Tom Segura, who's coming.
Oh, yeah?
I had to get him on secondary market. Wasn't cheap.
Really?
It's expensive, but I'm dying to see Tom Segura. And today, Jim Jeffries goes on sale in 17 minutes. And I'm going to make sure to get my hands on Jim Jeffries' tickets when he comes in. To this day, we've had Patrice O'Neill, who was incredible. Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Jim Jeffries. We had some great comedians who were at Nick's place. Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
All these guys went in and they always like, hey, what do you have? is that a trellis? You're going to grow some type of, a lot of vines on the roof here? Oh, it's a nice place, Bill Burr. Oh, what a nice place. A 7-foot roof to keep all the cigarette smoke down so I can get inside my shoes. You know, Bill Burr. Louis C.K. couldn't stop talking about how soulless. We had Chris Solis on with us. Like, this guy's great. What do you do for a living? He's like, oh, I've got my own construction business. Like, you're not in comedy? It's nice. He's a sniper, this guy. But Jim Jeffries, probably the greatest. He literally dropped the mic. He had something that had us laughing so loud that he just set the mic down, got up, and left Nick's. And we didn't say, hey, where did Jim Jeffries go? He was that good. He pulled the George Costanza. I cannot wait.
Yep.
He pulled the George Costanza. All right, that's it for me.
He did. He did.
Great.
All right, News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of good stuff here. And since we haven't really had it for a while, time to talk right now about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment, and the best goal that you'll ever see. So I talked about it before. You go to a sporting goods store, you go to a box store, and you go, okay, hey, I want that goal. All right, well, here it is. What? How am I going to get home? How am I going to set it up? What do you mean that here it is? Yeah, that's how you get it. With hoops, the best installations you can possibly get. Professionals who are going to make sure that thing doesn't go anywhere. We had ours installed on the driveway, and then the boy was playing with it. And then when the boy got older, he wanted to move it to the neighbors. Called Keith Tate. Yep, we'll move it for you. Moved it over there. It's over at their house, and they still love it. Lower and raise the goal because he's got little kids, right? They've got little kids. So the little kids, you lower the goal. And Hudson was loving it. I mean, he kept playing, and he gets the dunk, and the whole neighborhood's over there. And you want the kids outside. You want them playing. You want everybody over so you know where your kids are. They're in your driveway or your backyard because of the hoops goal, because it's the best goal you'll ever have. All you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You looking for some new windows? Yes, you are. If you have single-pane windows, you should have been looking for new windows years ago. I was one of those dolts that had single-pane windows and got them changed out. When you get the double-pane, double-strength windows of Allstate Siding and Windows, or you can go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com, but they do windows and siding, and those double-pane, double-strength windows, it eliminates a lot of the noise you're dealing with. They're retrofit into the actual space. You know, they're very careful when they take the old glass out from that space in your home. They take the glass out very carefully. It is specially measured retrofit to fit what your window frame is now, so that you don't have the leaking, you don't have the AC getting out, you don't have the dust getting in. And here's another great feature: they're just strong. The standard windows they have can withstand 130 mile per hour winds, and they build them even stronger than that for when you're down in Galveston in the greater, you know, the hurricane areas. So make sure that you check out allstatewindowsandsiding.com to find your windows, and you can also sign up for siding that can come out and make your home not only beautify it but also make it more energy efficient. allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
a school bus driver in Florida pulled over and called for help, thinking something was wrong. What do you think was happening on the school bus?
I don't want to say. Was there some wrestling going on?
Nope. The smell from a Florida student's use of Axe body spray was so overwhelming, he had to pull over and called for help. Called the police for help.
Called the police?
Because for the help? Axe body spray was so great. A man to escape bees, Lance.
Yeah.
He had a bad day. He had a swarm of bees that was so great, he jumped into a lake, and he was eaten by piranhas.
Oh, no, from bees to piranhas. Well, yeah. Where did he live? Because that's not like Lake Michigan.
No, I don't know where.
Where do you go to get eaten by piranhas?
It was some foreign country.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not here. I'm glad it's not Richmond Rosenberg.
Apparently, a man who accepted a lift by police, he shouldn't have done that.
Okay.
He was carrying 140,000 pounds of marijuana.
Well, that's a lot.
That seems like a lot of cannabis.
Did he do it in a barge whenever he was also having a race team?
Do you think if you were carrying $140,000 worth of weed that you would accept a ride from the cops?
100% would not.
Yeah. A woman was billed $700 for her by the ER, emergency room.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't sound like it's crazy, right? How $700 for the emergency room visit?
How much was she billed?
$700.
I mean,
actually, that's not very expensive for an emergency room visit.
Yeah, I've had to pay when Drake goes in there for
It seems like,
I got a headache. Let me go to the ER. Yeah. What? Yeah. What?
Unfortunately, she never really made it into the ER. She was in the waiting room for 7 hours, and that was her bill for in the waiting room.
I have a similar story when I wanted my cast off. They brought me in. I said, hey, can you guys have a saw, a cast saw? I'd like to go, yeah, come on in. I go there. They check me in. They go, yeah, we're not sawing your cast off. So what else is going on? Well, that's literally all I want. It's 11:30 at night. This is literally why I'm here. We can give you like a medicine to calm your nerves, give you a little pill here. We can take your blood pressure. And then we got a bill. And my insurance got a bill. I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very similar pricing. And I'm like, hey, they didn't do anything. So, yeah.
No, you get that.
Those emergency room, those faux emergency rooms.
Sat in the emergency room for 7 hours, never got looked at, and was charged $700.
Now.
$100 an hour for an emergency room?
Mine wasn't that bad.
All right. Apparently, a new poll came out. Over 75% of people who cheat claim that it improves their marriages.
People who cheat said it's, and those are the people cheating saying, no.
Their affair improves their marriage.
It's better now, guys.
Do you think Nicole would buy that one?
No. You know who wasn't asked? The person who got cheated on.
Right.
Did it improve your marriage? No.
Well, how come I wasn't part of this?
I voted yes on the survey. Yeah. You say no?
Here's a guy. It says, I married my wife when I was 17. Doesn't seem to be a problem, does it? I mean, it's a little young to get married, isn't it?
Right.
She was 71.
Wait. This is man and the woman is 71?
Yeah.
And the man is 17?
Yeah.
So it's the old flipperoo.
Yeah, it's the old flipperoo. There they are. 23 now and 77,
now,
whatever.
Why is he wearing a
robe?
Satin
because
robe.
That's what she bought for him.
She's
76.
Now, she looks pretty good for her age, I'd say, relatively speaking. And he looks like a guy who would marry a 70-year-old.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm chalking one up for the guys on that one. You know what? We hear about the Anna Nicole Smith moves all the time. And you see them. There's certain people that you see. I'm like, oh, I know what that is. You know it when you see it. I don't usually see the guys get on that sugar mama train, but
yeah.
True love. Maybe
she better be really rich. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Or it's true love. Don't do vomit noises.
We got to get Dell in here on that one for Grant. You know he's got Granny next door.
Yeah,
you know what he's doing all the time over there at Granny's house. A wife convinced her husband he had Alzheimer's. Convinced her husband he had Alzheimer's so she could steal $600,000 from him. Do you think Nicole would ever do that?
No, because I don't have $600,000, number one. And number two, that is a phenomenal story.
That is a great story.
You know what, honey? You want to talk? I don't know that I've respected someone's hustle more
than
a woman tricking a man into believing, like, you don't. Remember when I told you that your keys were there?
Yeah.
Huh?
What?
I literally told you that just 2 hours ago.
You didn't know.
I didn't tell me that.
Wait a minute.
This is the third time.
Where is that $600,000? You don't remember? You don't remember where that $600,000
is? You know what's so great about that? That's a long con. Like, you have to set that up with multiple things to make the guy think, maybe I have early onset Alzheimer's, and then it's all a big setup so that she can steal money.
Yeah, well, she was arrested, and she was found guilty, too. But, okay. A man was
Who will do more time, her or Henry Ruggs? Serious question.
Oh, she will. She'll do a lot more time than
Henry Ruggs. Stealing from her husband?
Yeah. Yes.
And Henry Ruggs killed somebody.
And Henry Ruggs killed, yes.
And they burned alive.
Look at what happened to Dante Stallworth and Leonard Little.
Can you believe that?
90 days and 30 days? I mean.
Ruggs is doing more time.
Yeah, probably.
That woman should just get probation for stealing from her own husband and tricking him.
Yeah.
That's a hustle foul.
That is a hustle foul. All right. Charlie Pelillo is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He will talk about the game. He's going to break it down. Season's over.
He tweeted yesterday for the first time in like 2 years. Yeah.
But the good news is now that we got Texans football to look forward to. Texans and Rockets. Between them, they have two wins. Between them, they have two wins. Holy crap. 957 ESPN 97.5. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.